Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is Cruise Radio.
In these winter months, consider TripInsurance.com to cover your next cruise investment. Buy direct from the leading insurers and save up to 40% or more on comparable plans from the other sites. Get a quote today and save from TripInsurance.com.
Broadcasting from the TripInsurance.com studios in Jacksonville, Florida, this is Cruise Radio.
Hey, how's it going? My name is Doug Parker. Thank you so much for checking out this episode of Cruise Radio. Very happy to have you here. A review of Royal Caribbean's Brilliance of the Seas this week out of Tampa, Florida. Sherry is here with Cruise News. A couple of things before Sherry. Cruise Radio daily news briefs, quick hits of the news there. If you want to find that, just type in Cruise Radio News wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. And the Cruise Radio YouTube channel have a deck-by-deck walkthrough of Virgin Voyages' upcoming Scarlet Lady. That was recently uploaded as well. All right, Sherry Laskin is here with Cruise News. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, Doug.
So in 2017, Carnival made the announcement that they're going to build this private destination, and all we knew was it was going to be on Grand Bahama Island, which is the same place that Freeport is. We now know a little bit more information.
We know a little bit more, and John Heald, you know, Carnival's brand ambassador, did reveal a little bit, and he's calling it Half Moon Cay Plus, so sounds like it's going to be pretty nice. Like you mentioned, it's going to be in the Bahamas, of course, about 20 miles to the east of Freeport on Grand Bahama Island, and he did say that the completion date is still unknown, but to compare it with Half Moon Cay, it's one of the nicest of all the private island destinations, in my opinion. So sounds like it's going to be lovely.
Yeah, and Carnival actually has a layout that they gave at the presentation in East Bahamas. If you go to cruiseradio.net, you could see this, like where they're going to have this. It's almost like they're building a little creek through the, or not creek, but canal through the place they're developing. It looks really cool, and it almost looks like a pool is going to be there. They're calling it the Gateway to Grand Bahama. You could check it out on cruiseradio.net if you want to see more details on this. Another week, another story about Virgin Voyages. What do we have this week?
Yeah, every week it's something new. Well, Scarlet Lady had the official float out, and it took place on Friday over in Genoa at the Fincantieri shipyard. And, of course, on hand were the Virgin Voyage executives, and, of course, Sir Richard was there. The 2,700-plus passenger ship is now ready for interior work to begin. And they did the usual it was kind of different the way they did the float-out ceremony. They had an employee of the shipyard. Her first name is Juliana. And basically, she sort of, quote-unquote, christened the ship when it hit the water. She cut a ribbon. The champagne bottle flew against the hull of the ship, and it broke. And, it was a momentous occasion, months and years in the planning. So, congratulations. Reservations will open to the public today. It's Valentine's Day, and Scarlet Lady begins cruising from Miami in April of 2020.
Have you spent any time on their website checking out the staterooms in the public areas?
I have, and I know someone who has a video about that.
Yeah, that was exhausting. I did a deck-by-deck walkthrough of the ship, but I was just asking you, Sherry, because there's some pretty cool venues in there. Like, I didn't realize a lot of it seemed almost gimmicky to me when I first read about it. And then researching all this for the video, there's some pretty cool spots. I think you're going to be really impressed.
I think it's going to be so unique. We're all wondering what it's going to be like and who are the passengers going to be.
Yeah. So if you want to see that deck-by-deck walkthrough, check out the show notes at cruiseradio.net. Or I'll actually just type in Cruise Radio on YouTube, and you'll see it right there as well, either or whatever you want to do. So Princess Cruises is launching their first water park at sea, correct?
Yes, they are, and it's called the Splash Zone. Finishing touches to the refurbishment of Princess Cruises, Caribbean Princess, is expected to wind up in June. And the ship's going to have this brand-new water park, and they're naming it the Reef Family Splash Zone. It's going to be located on Deck 17. And if I can say it again, the Reef family splash zone with hoses and splash pools and, you know, the spraying, the water fights and all that that you can have. They're also going to have the game zone, which apparently is going to have giant-sized table games with something like Jenga and a few others. So that'll be kind of different. And, you know, the ship is 15 years old. So it's a good, you know, it's good timing for Princess to add a family water park, especially to debut in June, just in time for summer. And it already has Movies Under the Stars, so, you know, it'll catch up to the other ships.
What are your thoughts on them adding a water park? Do you feel like maybe there's a shift in their audience now?
Yeah, I think, you know, they have to compete with Symphony of the Seas and, you know, Carnival's coming out with their refurbishments and new ships. So, you know, they've never really struck me as a kid type cruise line, but, you know, they have to widen their scope a little bit, I think, to keep up with everybody else.
And speaking of refurbishment, Celebrity Millennium just got out of dry dock with a really big one.
It did. And Celebrity ships are undergoing a $500 million revitalization program, and they call it Celebrity Revolution. And as you said, Celebrity Millennium just emerged from its refurbishment last week. And, you know, looking over the pictures that I saw, a major focus seems to be on the suites. And they're going to have exclusive access to their retreat lounge, which sounds familiar, and the retreat sun deck, and people in the suites will also have their own private restaurant. Now, for the staterooms that are being redesigned, they will have Celebrity's Exhale bedding with cashmere mattresses, redesigned bathrooms, and some more storage space. Just looking ahead, the next Celebrity ships to debut after their renovation this year, coming up is the Celebrity Summit in March, and then in June will be the Celebrity Equinox.
You know, I've never sailed on any of Celebrity's older ships. I've done all of their Solstice class and then Edge most recently, but never the older ones. Have you?
I have, and I loved them. They were smaller. My first Celebrity cruise ever was the Century, back before because they had cut that and put a, you know, they lengthened it. Mm-hmm. So this was back in 2005. Yeah, and I love the Century, and Millennium is wonderful. Haven't been on the Summit yet, but the old ships are really nice.
Yeah, that's on my cruise bucket list, to get on one of those older Celebrity ships, so maybe one day. Listener question comes from Matthew this week. Email me your questions, doug@cruiseradio.net. Hi, Doug. So my wife and I are planning to go on our first cruise together, and I have a question. We've narrowed it down to 4 cruises. Was wondering if you could help us out. So the first one is Carnival Breeze, a 7-night to the Eastern Caribbean. The next one is Carnival Radiance, an 8-night to the Southern Caribbean. The next one would be Carnival Pride, a 7-night out of, Baltimore going down to the Bahamas. And then the final one is Carnival Legend, 7-night going to the Western Caribbean. Would appreciate some insight. Thanks.
You know, I had fun thinking about this. Which one would I do? Yeah, I'm partial to the Carnival Pride. I really like that ship. You know, and it's closer to home for Matthew. So maybe that would be a reason to go, you know, just Grand Turk, Half Moon Cay, and Freeport, which is really just, you know, it's kind of like a beach vacation. So if that's what you're looking for, that would be perfect. Then you have the Carnival Breeze going to the Eastern. I love San Juan, and we'll stop at Grand Turk, so you'll have a beach day there in Amber Cove. And then Carnival Legend, of course, a little bit older. A nice itinerary. Grand Cayman, you have to tender, so that can slow you down a little bit. Not much, though. But I have to hone in on Carnival Radiance, 8 nights, and it's going to Aruba, Bonaire, and Grand Turk. It's a great itinerary. It's out of here in Port Canaveral. I looked it up because I thought I might go, but I found out there's limited availability. So if this is on your radar for the Radiance, you might want to think about booking this pretty soon. It's 8 nights. It's just mainlining straight down to Aruba and Bonaire. So I think it'll be a wonderful trip. And it's just coming out of refurbishment from being the Carnival Victory earlier in the year. So I think I would go with the Radiance only because for your first cruise to wake up in Aruba and see the pastel-colored houses on the waterfront, I think that's really special.
All right, Sherry. So I love the Spirit class ships. I love Pride, but I don't like that itinerary Pride is doing. So on this one, I think I would go with the Eastern Caribbean because I love me some St. Thomas and going over to St. John for the day.
That would probably be my second choice. But like I said, I am partial to the Pride. I've had some wonderful trips on the Pride, so kind of has me. But to me, the itinerary, I'm not, you know, when you live in Florida, a beach vacation is not high on your list, really, at least for me, you know.
Yeah, same here.
So I mean, Breeze I love too. So yeah, I think I would probably go, like I said, my first choice would be Radiance because it's Port Canaveral and down to Aruba, Bonaire and Grand Turk. Then Breeze, and then Pride and Legend, maybe.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned living in Florida. I live 8 miles from the beach here in Jacksonville, and I can count on one hand how many times I've been to the beach in the past 5 years.
Isn't that a shame?
Crazy.
I mean,
yeah.
We take it for granted.
And
we
people
really
right
do.
Now in the Midwest are like, you suck. But it's I guess we, you know, growing up, you know, boogie boarding and surfing, I guess you kind of got used to it, and you took it for granted, and now you're so close to it. I probably, when I move away from the beach, I'll be missing it, though, right? That's how it works.
That's how it works. You know, when I was walking distance to the beach a couple of years ago, you know, when I first moved there, I was there every single day. I took, you know, I had what I call planning time, and I'd bring a pencil and paper and sit and write my thoughts for what I was going to write about. And now that I moved to the mainland, I haven't been at the beach in 3 years. So
that's the way works. We've been talking with Sherry Laskin from cruisemaven.com. Thank you, Sherry, and happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, you too, Doug. Happy Valentine's Day.
We'd love to hear your comments. Email comments at cruiseradio.net.
When is your next cruise? Where are you going? And what are you going to do once you get there? Market-leading specialist CruisingExcursions.com offers savings up to 60% off shore excursions versus cruise line prices. Whether it's private, shared, scenic, historic, or family tours, CruisingExcursions.com has up to 12,000 excursions in over 700 ports worldwide, like Rome, Vatican City, St. Petersburg, Sydney, and Jamaica, just to name a few. You can even bundle your excursions for more savings. Make your next vacation affordable and unforgettable by visiting cruisingexcursions.com.
If you have an Amazon Alexa-enabled device, ask her to enable the Cruise Radio News skill so you can get daily updates anytime. Straight from Cruise Radio.
Kat just returned from a four-night cruise aboard Royal Caribbean's Brilliance of the Seas from the Port of Tampa over to Cozumel, and she joins us on the line. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. So before we get to Brilliance and talk all about your big Super Bowl cruise, let's take a step back. Give us some pre-cruise thoughts. What made you want to take this four-night cruise on Brilliance out of Tampa?
Okay, well, usually every single year, I run a group called Royal Caribbean Periscopers, and we take an annual group cruise during the Super Bowl. And we try to, you know, change it up and do different ships from time to time. And so I had friends that were on Brilliance, and I had never been on a Radiance class ship. And so I was like, usually I discussed, you know, what cruise we should take with my fellow admin of our group, you know, regarding our group cruise. And this ship definitely perked our interest just because of, you know, the uniqueness to it.
Yeah. And she's not, I mean, she's what, about 17 or 18 years old too. So she's not a young ship.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. She's a beautiful ship.
Yeah, she's gorgeous. So you live here in Jacksonville, and you made your way down to the Port of Tampa. Did you do any pre-cruise stay down in Tampa?
I did. I stayed actually at the Grand Hyatt, and which, you know, I kind of splurged a little bit. Normally, you know, because it's a little bit more of expensive of a hotel, but I had some friends that were going to be staying there. Mm-hmm. So I decided to stay at the Grand Hyatt, which was very, very nice. But it was only for one night, so, you know, wasn't too bad. And I actually was meeting some friends for dinner at American Social.
So you make your way to the Port of Tampa. How was embarkation?
Embarkation was wonderful. You know, I always say don't pay attention to the suggested time that you should arrive. Mm-hmm. I arrived to the port at 10 o'clock. I basically had my passport out, and we basically maybe sat down for minutes. We basically walked right on the ship, actually, at 10:30.
Wow. So you were on the ship at 10:30?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Wow. And now, I know you sail Royal a lot. Do you have any, like, priority boarding with them?
Well, so this time I did have priority boarding. I was platinum, and I was also staying in a junior suite.
Okay.
So, well, I mean, we probably sat, no, I'd say we probably sat down for maybe 5 or 10 minutes. But, I mean, I got to the port about 10 o'clock, and it was very quickly. we were there as soon as the doors opened and went through TSA very quickly. And, you know, it was a very, very quick process.
You fancy Grand Hyatt and a junior suite. Look at you.
I know.
You make your way on Brilliance of the Seas. What were your first impressions of her?
Oh, my gosh. So beautiful. When you walk on, you have the Centrium, and it's just got so many amazing colors, and it's got like a moving kind of design wall. I just noticed with the Radiance class how much more like outside, like looking glass, like the elevators, when you get in the elevators, you can see outside to the ocean. So it's got a huge, you know, glass where, you know, it's just really awesome. You can definitely see the ocean like anywhere mm-hmm. you want to go.
Yeah, for sure. So you make your way to, well, actually, it's kind of early, but could you go right to your stateroom since you were in a junior suite?
Unfortunately, not.
Okay.
I wish I could. So we hung out in the Solarium bar quite a while. So probably about 11:30, 12 o'clock. And my main point for wanting to hang out in the Solarium bar is Park Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually on embarkation day, I don't like to go to the Windjammer because it's always crowded.
Right.
So I like to try to find a different food venue that's not as crowded. And I'm a huge fan of Royal Caribbean's roast beef sandwich from mm-hmm. Park Cafe. So usually that would be my first go-to choice on a ship that offers that, you know, offers that selection.
So your stateroom is eventually ready. You make your way to it. And you said it was a junior suite. So what did you think about it?
Oh, my God. It was absolutely beautiful. Okay, so now this was not just only any junior suite. This was a junior suite on the 10th deck. The cabin number was 1100. It was on the corner of the ship. It was the nicest. I had a huge balcony. It was an aft balcony. So junior suite, aft balcony on the corner.
Wow.
So it has the extended balcony. Yeah, I definitely splurged on this.
I'm looking at the video
cruise.
Of it right now. And there's like is there a walk-in closet here or a pretty big closet?
Oh, yes, there is a walk-in closet. I like to be, you know, have space to put my stuff. I'll bring like an over the door shoe hanger organizer thing for the cabin. I didn't need it. There is so much cabin space and so much drawer space and shelving and storage. I didn't even need it. There was a walk-in closet, which I absolutely loved because, you know, you usually if you bring a lot of luggage, you're trying to figure out where to put it all. And so, you know, we had a king size bed and then a couch and then the room was just so much bigger. And then it had like a little chaise lounger on the other side with a coffee machine that comes with junior suites and the walk-in closet. The junior suites have a bathtub in their bathroom. So that's always a nice, nice feature, you know, if you want to kind of just soak. But it was an absolute wonderful room on the aft of, you know, the 10th deck, and it had the extended balcony. From what I understand, it was the best cabin in the fleet.
I'm going to say no one needs a balcony this big. I'm looking at this video on YouTube right now of room 1100. And this is a huge balcony. Good for you for booking this room.
Well,
an amazing view of, like, aft view, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's no scaffolding on the Brilliance. So it's like you have a view that is not obstructed.
Mm-hmm.
Your view is amazing.
Let's talk about dining on this four-night cruise. So we'll start in the main dining room. What time dining did you have, and what did you think about it?
Well, I actually did specialty dining for the first two nights.
Okay.
There was a BOGO deal where we had buy one, get one free. So we did Giovanni's the first night with a majority of our group members, and they did a really great job of accommodating us. We had like three large tables, and the food was absolutely amazing. I think I had lasagna. It was just, I mean, they brought us appetizers and just so much food, so much food.
And then where'd you go the second night?
Second night was Chops. So I'm a big steak lover. So I had the the filet mignon, I think the 9 ounce, and with, you know, mashed potatoes, very, very tender, just really cooked very well. And again, with the appetizers, there was tons of food. The food was just amazing. The third night is we ate in the main dining room when we had late seating. And it was really, really great. They had probably like 5 or 6 tables all together for my group because we had 80 people in our group.
Wow. So main dining room on the third night. And then what did you do the fourth night?
Fourth night was Super Bowl night. And so Super Bowl night is just like a windjammer kind of night. I don't have to dress up. I can just be casual. I think I had like jeans on that night because, you know, we were going to try to watch the Super Bowl out on deck, and the weather had other plans. We started out on deck, and then we would get our windjammer food and bring it out on deck, and then it started to rain. So we ended up moving inside to the pub.
Yeah. How was the windjammer on Brilliance?
You know, it was really, really good. They had a lot of choices, and my most favorite area to eat meals, like breakfast and lunch, and the outside windjammer on Radiance class ships is absolutely amazing. It's actually on the aft of the ship. It's actually right above my cabin. You know, and I actually could hear from my cabin during the day. I could hear chairs moving, but that was my most favorite area to eat breakfast and lunches. And I actually chose it over the main dining room. You know, there was one day I could have lunch in the main dining room. I'm like, no. I want to go eat in the windjammer outside, you know, because it was just, you know, so much fun to be able to have your lunch in the open air and have the views of the ocean right there.
How many roast beef sandwiches did you have at Park Cafe?
During the 4-day period, probably like 3 or 4.
Okay. Have you done a Zumi on Royal at all?
I have not.
No.
I've got to try it sometime. I'm not a huge sushi fan. Mm-hmm. And I know some ships will have the hibachi and some don't. But yeah. I do love the hibachi food, though.
Yeah, same here. Talk to us about the entertainment on this 4-night cruise. How was it?
It was good. From, you know, we had some singers in the pubs. I didn't really go see a lot of the shows because I was more hanging out with, you know, my group members. They definitely kept us entertained during the day. They had trivia. And of course, we did the quest, which we won.
I won't ask you about Quest because that's kind of a don't ask, don't tell kind of game.
Oh, that's true.
How was the entertainment around the ship as far as like musical acts playing in the different venues and such?
It was really, really good. I think my most favorite entertainment is the 70s party. That's when just every, you know, I love the 70s music. I think that's my most favorite. They did that in the Centrium. And they kind of have a 70s pre-show where they kind of play, you know, they have a couple singers that will sing a lot of the 70s songs. And then they kick it up into high gear when the, you know, actual 70s party starts. I think that's like the most highlight party of the whole week. Oh, the whole weekend is the 70s party because pretty much the whole Centrium is packed jam with people just dancing. And, you know, you've got the village people out there throwing the glowing rings. And, you know, it's just, it's a lot of fun.
How about sea days? How was the ship during the sea days?
Oh, the sea days were wonderful. It was, you know, it didn't feel too crowded. I think the first day, the Solarium wasn't as jam packed because it was a little bit cooler. But there was definitely people in the hot tub and, you know, they only have the one pool. I didn't really get in the pool at all, but I noticed that, I mean, it definitely didn't feel overcrowded and people, you know, had things to do. So, I mean, it was really, really good. Basically, you know, hung out with my group. We had kind of a pub crawl on one of the sea days. So that was fun.
As far as the crowds and congestion, like, in the dining areas, because the ship doesn't have a ton of dining, but it does have a good handful, maybe a dozen spots or so. Did you find there to be like a pretty good flow in the different venues?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. You know, and I thought eating in the specialty restaurants would take a really super long time. Mm-hmm. It really didn't. And I know when we did eat in the main dining room, I think it was the fastest service I have ever received on any cruise, because they were just very efficient. It didn't feel overcrowded at all. We were able to walk right in and go right to our table. So it was really, really great.
Let me ask you about the casino. Was smoking an issue in the casino at all, or outside of the casino?
It was a little bit of an issue just because I am a non-smoker. So sometimes the smoke, you know, does tend to bother us. But, you know, we were in, actually speaking of the casino, we were actually in the casino for a thing with my group. It's called a slot pool. It's where everybody puts money in. We all put $15 in a machine. We did like a Wheel of Fortune. Everybody takes three spins. And there was probably about 30 or 40 people that had put $15 in. And so we put all of our money in and did our spins. And we actually ended up coming out ahead. Everybody got their money back plus $10.
Okay.
So we all won an extra $10 on top of what we had already put in. So it was really fun.
You don't hear people walking away a winner much at those slot pulls. So good for you.
Yeah.
What ports of call did you hit? And give us a highlight from each port.
Okay, so we only had one port this cruise because we had two sea days in one port. So it was Cozumel, Mexico, and we had all decided as a group to do an all-inclusive island, you know, which I've stayed at Mr. Sancho's before, and that was really great. It's more kid-oriented at Mr. Sancho's, but we all decided that we wanted to go to Nachi Kokum, which is more adult-driven, and they only let 130 people in per day. So that kind of appealed to me because, you know, I know when I went to Mr. Sancho's, it felt very, very crowded. You know, it just felt very crowded. And I could definitely tell the difference when we went to Nachi Kokum, because a majority of my group were at, you know, we all went there together. There's probably 80 of us. And there was, you know, other people that obviously were not in our group, but it did not feel crowded at all. It was a much more relaxing experience because, you know, we could just kind of do what we want and hang out on the beach. The food was definitely 10 times better at Nachi Kokum than it was at Mr. Sancho's. It was really, really good.
My travel agent turned me on to Nachi Kokum back in 2017, and I've been back three times since then, and I agree 100%. So much better than the other place.
Oh, yes, most definitely. From now on, whenever I go to Cozumel, Mexico, I am definitely going to Nachi Kokum, because now that, you know, I have it to compare between the two all-inclusive islands, it's just a very nice experience. And they work really hard to, you know, make you have a really great experience and a really great day.
I didn't realize they capped it at 130 people. I knew they capped it, but I didn't realize it was 130. That's really good to know. So
yeah, it used to be 100. They raised it a little bit. So they raised it to 130, and that's kind of currently where it's at. And I hope they don't raise it anymore.
Was it at capacity when you were there? Did you know?
I don't know. I think pretty much it was sold out, because I know there was a group member or two that tried to get in. They could not because it was sold out. So a majority of the people that were there were part of my group. But, I mean, there was probably a good 20 or 30 people that, you know, were not in my group that, you know, I noticed, you know. But it did not feel crowded at all, even in being at capacity.
Yeah. That's good to hear. So you make your way back to the port of Tampa. You had a very eventful debark. Talk to us about that.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so we had gotten word probably Saturday, late Saturday evening, early Sunday, that fog was going to be an issue on our disembarkation back into Tampa. So we were actually going to be arriving into Tampa a little early on Sunday night, probably about 11, 12 o'clock at night. Come Monday morning, which is disembarkation day, which is February the 4th, we get notice that we are still in the bay, you know, Tampa Bay, and the port has been closed because of fog, and we kind of just have to hang out until, you know, they open the port again. And the time kept on changing. You know, it's like the captain said, we will be alongside at 12 o'clock. Well, 11:30 came around. He's like, you know, we're not going anywhere yet. So it changed from 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock. And then probably about 3:34, you know, we started making our way into Tampa. The port had opened, and it was probably about 4:30, 5 o'clock when we actually pulled alongside the dock. They did a really good job during the day of, you know, all of our drink packages still worked. Our Voom, our internet was still working. They came up with activities to keep the cruisers happy. So, you know, you could tell that they were experienced at, you know, kind of having to come up with a contingency plan of, you know, not having us off the ship. So, I mean, they did a really good job of keeping us entertained as best as they could, you know, with having us for an extended stay.
So what time did you finally clear customs and get into your car?
It was probably about 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the evening. It took a really, really long time to get off the ship. It was a little disorganized trying to get off the ship because everybody, you know, was just very impatient and it was very, very crowded in the hallways. The lines were really, really super long. It was probably the worst experience I've had for disembarkation, but I just kind of took it in stride and tried to keep my patience and, you know, but everybody pretty much had lost their patience at that point. So it was very, it was, you know, not a fun experience trying to get off.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in all fairness too, there's basically like 6,000 people they're dealing with, 3,000 coming off and 3,000 trying to get back on. So I'm sure tempers were flaring, but I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad you kept your cool and didn't break anyone's neck.
Oh yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
Yeah.
And you know,
well,
I know one of the things you usually ask is tips for new cruisers. Having gone through this, travel insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Travel insurance is a must because there was actually a few cruisers that did not get travel insurance and they ended up paying dearly for it because they ended up having to pay out of pocket for their flight changes and hotel stays. There was a cruiser that ended up missing his next cruise because he was going on a cruise that was actually in Miami. So, I always recommend travel insurance. You have to get it.
Agree 100%. Looking back, what was the biggest highlight of this cruise for you?
I think the biggest highlight is just being able to be on a Radiance class ship for the very first time. It was a very special cruise for me because, you know, it was a group cruise with the group that I created, Royal Caribbean Periscopers. And I always say cruising with friends is definitely the way to go. And the people that I was cruising with definitely made it very memorable. We just had a really great time being able to cruise together and hang out and going to Nachi Kokum for the very first time, staying in a beautiful aft balcony junior suite, having wonderful views. I mean, there's so many positives with this cruise. I could go on and on.
Well, in closing here, final thoughts of Brilliance of the Seas.
It is a beautiful ship. I would definitely sail on Brilliance of the Seas again. Just beautiful.
Kat, welcome back to Jacksonville, and thank you so much for sharing your review.
Thank you so much.
A big question we get at Cruise Radio is, how do I know if I need trip insurance? Simple answer. If you're getting on a plane, taking a road trip, or getting on a cruise ship, you need to have travel insurance. Hey, it's Doug Parker from my friends at TripInsurance.com. Not only does TripInsurance.com protect your vacation investment, but it also gives you a peace of mind in case anything were to go wrong on your trip. How do they do it? They offer three different types of trip insurance policies. Good, better, and best. One policy for every vacation budget. But it doesn't just stop there. They're up to 40% lower when you shop around on other comparison sites. Plus, TripInsurance.com offers 24-hour customer support before, during, and after your trip, online claims assistance, and travel alerts to let you know what's going on at your destination. But find out for yourself. Check out TripInsurance.com.
Let's see what we've got for you. Cruise Radio is produced weekly in Jacksonville, Florida. For partnership opportunities, email Doug at cruiseradio.net. Hear Cruise Radio on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, the Stitcher Radio Network, Google Play, or at cruiseradio.net. I'm your announcer.
Say goodbye
to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.